I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Frank McGarvey shoots.
Derek Johnston.
A marvellous goal by Celtic.
Rangers pressure pays off.
The Dutton army go crazy.
Glorious goal.
Glasgow and the West's league leader for 50 years.
I'm asked to give an opinion and I like to give an honest one.
This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on another big night of Premiership action. Rangers welcome St Johnston to Ibrox. Will they be buoyed by their League Cup success or will there be a celebration hangover? Aberdeen fell short on Sunday and really need to get their league form back on track when they play tonight. And Celtic fans, you have to wait until the weekend to find out the response to Saturday's disappointment as the inquest continues. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight, you have Charlie Mulgrew and Marvin Bartley. It is a piece of cake, these midweek gigs. You've always got big games to talk about.
Yeah, and the music threw me a little bit there, though, Gordon. That's the first time I've heard that.
See, this is what I was wondering.
Yeah.
This is pre-Marvin Bartley coming to Scottish football.
Yeah.
This is the original old school version of the Clyde One Super Scoreboard theme tune. Now everyone listening will know that, but you won't.
No, I had no idea. So, I actually thought you were talking over an advert or something.
So this was original and best, and we updated it quite a few years ago now. But did you know this radio station turns 50 on Hogmanay, 50th birthday? So we thought we'd go retro this week and bring it back. Do you like it?
No, I like it.
It's good,
it.
Isn't it?
Yeah, he might
a little more dramatic.
Be here to
try and keep it.
Yeah,
anyway,
not too bad. Anyway,
back to the football.
Yeah, exactly, mate. No, it's been an interesting weekend, hasn't it? Obviously, like you said, with Celtic slipping up and then Rangers winning that cup final on Sunday. You know, but they need to back it up today because, as you said, their fans were buoyant and so were the players after us in some of the videos, etc. But as the man just said, you know, it's full steam ahead to today and, again, trying to close that gap on Celtic.
It's been an interesting week. Charlie Mulgrew, always that you get the first piece of silverware, but at the same time, Celtic have their wobbles. Derek Adams has had everyone in a tizzy and we've got League Cup final tickets, Old Firm tickets. It's all there. Another busy week in Scottish football.
It is, aye. That's the nature of being at Celtic and Rangers. Rangers go and win the Cup and the pressure's on them at night. They need to go and capitalise in Celtic. Dropping points at the weekend, big surprise for Celtic at the weekend, but they need a response as well coming for their next game. So that's all interesting stuff and look forward to seeing the results tonight.
Come on then, 01419511025. I think this is a first. I don't think we've ever paired Marvin Bartley and Charlie Mulgrew together, so get your thoughts in. The producer's already in my ear, a bit worried about the live stream because apparently it's the tallest pundit lineup we've ever had. We were worried if we could fit you both in below the Clyde One Super Scoreboard sign on the logo. And also, interestingly, the only two pundits that have you know what's coming here.
Yeah.
The only two pundits that have ever been late for the start of the show. So I've been really worried about this all day. Really, really worried.
I was here at 4:45.
Exactly. Yeah.
And when I pulled into the car park and I saw Charlie's lovely big car with the headlights beaming, I thought, there he is, he's here, until I noticed that he was asleep in the front seat of the car. And then Marvin Bartley arrived at 6:01. So we're here, we're good, yeah?
Finally balanced, is that
so you
that?
Made it on time.
Yeah.
And you're refreshed.
Oh, ready to go. I won't sleep at night now. I had a good 45 minutes there.
Anyway, 01419511025. Rangers fans, what are you thinking tonight? How confident are you that it is, you know, a springboard for success, if you like, on Sunday? Flying high, confident, no looking back, build on the League Cup success. Or is there any danger of some sort of emotional hangover? I don't necessarily mean a literal hangover. I have no idea what the players got up to, but you know what it's like, the big occasion, that outpouring of emotion. How do you think the next game goes after that? You pick up the phone, and let us know. Celtic fans, I feel like every day on from Hearts, in theory, you should be a bit calmer and measured, but you never know. Maybe this week's just getting you more and more worked up until you get the chance to put it right on the pitch. We'll hear from Callum McGregor a bit later on as well. We, of course, we've got that other game, Aberdeen, playing as well. I dare say there will be some, maybe some leftover thoughts. It was a really, really busy show last night. I don't know if Marvin Bartley and Charlie McGrew signed up for the intricacies of SPFL subcommittees and who should get what tickets for what game, but you never know. We'll tackle whatever you want to throw at us on 0141 951 1025. And whilst you get your calls in, Gabriel will set the scene at Ibrox.
Thank you, Gordon, and what a week it has been for Rangers. That famous win over in Seville to send them through to the last 16 of the Europa League after topping a tough group. It was followed up by their narrow win in the League Cup final at the weekend to lift the trophy for the first time in 12 years, and of course their first piece of silverware under manager Philippe Clement. A real liberating moment for this fan base after last season's disappointment. They now have a huge opportunity in another competition, perhaps the most important one. It is, of course, the league. And everyone knows a win tonight means Rangers will cut Celtic's lead at the top of the table to just 2 points while still having a game in hand. And don't forget, the Old Firm at the end of the year is now just 10 days away as well. I spoke to Clement yesterday. He believes his players can have an amazing season if they stay as united as they are right now. And the way things are going, who would put it past them? The Belgian is still unbeaten across his 14 games in charge. He's won all of his last five. And you hope tonight sees the momentum in the title race begin to swing in Rangers' favour. However, there is a Craig Levein-shaped object blocking their path. Since the veteran manager has come in at McDermott Park, they've climbed off the foot of the table all the way up to eighth. A stunning turnaround. He's only lost two of his seven matches in charge. And they were narrow defeats to Hearts and Celtic. The Saints had an impressive victory over Hibernian on Saturday. The referee here will be Alan Moore. Stevie Kirkland is on the VAR, and I'll bring you team news when it comes, Gordon, close to 7 o'clock.
And until that time, it really is over to you, Rangers fans. Are you keeping the same team, keep on that winning momentum, or do you simply have to maybe shuffle things a little bit? I know it's a threadbare squad to a point, but you're going to play again at the weekend, of course, Christmas Eve, the game against Motherwell, play again afterwards, Celtic game just around the corner in case you hadn't noticed. So 0141 951 1025, that is the number that John has dialed. How's it going, John?
No bad. Evening, Gordon, Marvin, Charlie.
All right, John.
Season's greetings when they come.
Thank you very much, John. Thank you. What are you thinking tonight then? Is it, you know, does the Rangers turn up here with their tails up, with a bit of a swagger, or can it be difficult after like the high of a cup final?
There can be a hangover after winning a cup, the big game in Europe last week, but I feel we will make a couple of changes, and just because we're so down to the bones, I feel maybe Matondo might come in for McCausland, and then Ruth, if it will maybe start for Dessers, because between now and January break, I feel we've got, as much as Sunday was a cup final, these are five big cup finals, and they should be treated with respect as Sunday's game was. St Johnstone are playing well since you said Levein's come in, so I feel a couple of changes tonight. Won't Bill possibly come in, but I've not seen enough of him to know, make a decision on that yet.
Right, let me see. Out of the two pundits, who won the most? That's an easy one. Charlie, what is, I suppose this is, maybe this is specific to the League Cup. Bit different, but most of yours have been March finals, I guess, but later on.
I never played there.
Scottish Cup final's different because it comes at the end of the season. But generally, if you have that high, maybe even a European game then, when you've got a real high intensity, emotional occasion, if the next game's a bit more run of the mill, no offence, St Johnson, can it be difficult?
It is, but you quickly need to understand, as I said earlier, Celtic and Rangers, that you need to go again. That's the massive thing about these clubs, is, and there's no many like it around the world, that the fans demand that you turn up again. That's cup finals done. He's have got that trophy, and you need to turn up and put on a performance and win the game tonight. And that's a massive thing. We talk about making changes and all that stuff, and understand they had the European game, then they had the cup final, so maybe one or two changes, but I don't think any more than that. I think that they need to keep the run going and try and get an early goal. An early goal always helps. I always found that the longer the team goes, especially if it's an away game, I know it's home the night to Rangers, but to St Johnstone, But the longer it goes in the game, and you start to think, oh no, and the tired minds kick in, and you start to question whether you're going to get that goal. So I think it'd be important for Rangers to get an early goal, I think.
Marvin, I suppose it falls into a couple of different categories. Physically, you know, maybe you just have to, as Charlie says, cup final away in Seville as well. Emotionally, I don't know, can it work both ways? Surely the fans are going to turn up there tonight almost, and I don't know if that feeds onto the pitch, but you know, excited and optimistic, and have been given such a boost by the last week.
Yeah, definitely. The fans will be buoyant going into that stadium tonight. But as Charlie said, the players need to perform. So, you know, the Rangers manager and players can't kind of get involved in that. You know, they can feed off it, most definitely. But I do believe that he'll make changes. I think, like you said, physically there, the cup final, but I think mentally as well. I think you need to freshen it up, because I think you need fresh minds in there again. I think you need, as bad as it sounds, when you're a player who sits on the bench for the cup final, when you really want to be out there. Yes, it's brilliant that you've won it, but you know, the next game is almost like, let them off the leash. Mm-hmm. You know, let them have their chance now to, you know, go out there. I know it's not a cup final, but to win a game of football at Ibrox, and I think that will work in Rangers' advantage. So I do think he'll make a couple of changes, as I said, just to freshen it all up.
I mean, you were there on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I know this because you were sat behind us.
Yeah, up
there
throwing things at you
up there on the gantry at Hampden. We don't really analyse a performance in a cup final, because, you know, who cares the kind of result. When it all calms down, maybe in Philippe Clement's mind, though, there is every chance that maybe there were things he wants to see improved. I don't think anyone thinks it was a brilliant Rangers performance. So might he have actually started looking at it in a more of a, like, just a footballing sense, rather than what the outcome was?
Yeah, I think so. You know, come Monday morning, he would have definitely been looking at it and things that they could have improved, and he'd have been telling the players that as well. You know, when you play for a club like Rangers, regardless of result, you know, you're expected to win things, you're expected to win games in the league. So if they were never learning after winning games, then there wouldn't be a lot of teaching going on. So yeah, he would have seen things that they could have improved. Aberdeen obviously came with a specific game plan to sit behind it, which Rangers will face a lot, and they were extremely direct. But you know, he wouldn't have been delighted with their performance. But as you said, Gordon, it's a cup final. Yeah, it's all about winning it.
John mentioned, you know, like Kamal Roof, Charlie, there's this ongoing thing where for years now Rangers fans, lots of them, feel he's the best striker at the club. We just never see enough of him to really, you know, get that sustained opinion. I think Philippe Clement said he's ready to start a game, but he's not ready to play 90 minutes. So obviously he can start and come off. Yep. Whilst Dessers is still not setting the header alight, albeit a good goal in Europe, might that be an area he looks to freshen?
I think probably was. I think that's the area where you think he would make at least one change. I've been there before with Roof, where you feel like you can't get him. You can't stay a long period of time fit, and I think it's about building the minutes up. So I can understand that. I can understand it, to get that confidence in your muscles and in your body to play long 90-minute games for a continuing period of time. You need to build it up, and I think that Roof is their best striker, Rangers' best striker. But I can understand the hesitancy to say not play him 90 minutes, because you need to get that run of games in his legs and build that up slowly. So I can understand that he's one you would definitely put in, and one he showed you on the week against Betis that he's a real threat.
Last week was obviously massive, John, and as Charlie said, though, he knows about being at the Glasgow Goldfish Bowl. Then the next week becomes how important are these next few games to make sure you try and either, you know, keep that momentum or even add to it?
Of course, massive games. I mean, all the hard work so far, it could be undone by a bad result in the next couple of games against St Johnstone and your team, Gordon Motherwell. So it's just got to keep it going. And he is one of these managers, it's just looking one game at a time. I know it's a cliche, but it kind of looked too far forward. And the next two games, if we do well in the next two games, then it's all to play for in the 30th. But as I say, the night is as important to me as it was on Sunday, because we win the night and it goes to 2 points. That would be huge, because I think even 1 point, I know Celtic had a game hand, we had a game hand on Celtic, it was 11 points at 1 point a few weeks ago. And that's crazy to think it could be two. So it's got to keep it going. He'll have everybody calm in there. And he says, you play people who are performing, it'll give people a chance to show them what they can do, and I think a couple of players tonight might get a chance to do that. And it's been every Wednesday night, every Thursday of the night, it's just a good 6 days for Rangers, a great 6 days. A couple of years ago when we got to the final Europa League, it's feeling that way again. The momentum's up and the good roll's back at Ibrox, but one bad result and it could all go away again.
That's the life of a football fan here. Yes, we can win away in Betis. Yes, we can win the cup, but I am worried about St Johnstone at home. Alan is in Irvine. Alan, what do you think? Full of confidence, full of momentum, or chance of a hangover? What do you think?
That both, to be honest. First of all, good evening, panel. Merry Christmas season, it's coming.
Thank you, Alan. Same to you.
Yeah, so just kind of echoing what John said there, he said a few things that I was going to come on and say. I think, for me, I think tonight's the night to start Kemar Roofe, I think, to give him a chance. Doesn't have the full time and the full game in his legs, but I think tonight's a good chance because it gets his confidence as well for him to know that he still has that there, that to have the ability to come and start the game, score some goals, come off, get a wee bit of rest, I think, because not just as well as physical confidence, but mental confidence as well. I know he scored a massive goal for us in Betis, but I think getting that confidence back up, I'd probably look tonight as well to swap McCausland for either Matondo or Scott Wright, just to try and give him a freshen up there. But my main point was, I think tonight for me is one of the biggest games of your season. I know Sunday was massive and it was brilliant, we're all loving it, but tonight in terms of keeping the pressure on Celtic, because I know they're obviously at home to Livingston on Saturday, Sunday, I'm not sure, but like, if we can win tonight, take it down to 2 points, and it's putting Celtic, because sometimes that little bit of pressure could play on the players' minds because things aren't going so well at Celtic, which is good for us to see, do you know what I mean? I'm loving it, but I think like, tonight's massively important in terms of going forward, because if we don't get a decent result tonight, I don't care how, like, see if it's not 3-4 in football and if we have to win 1-0, it doesn't bother me in the slightest. I'm not, if we play good football in the process, that's terrific, but see if it's 1-0, be bouncing off of something going in, I'll take it all day long. But I think that to just keep that pressure on Celtic, because Livingston's not an easy home, but it's still got the potential there, and that could play into doubt for them. And then obviously we're away to Motherwell next week, which is obviously going to be a tough one as well. But they're two very important games. Take the Celtic game out of context even before we get to that, because the Celtic are away to Dundee, I think, as well, so there's some tough games there. So that's just, that was just what my thought. It's pretty much echoing what John said.
Charlie, I remember a couple of weeks ago when you had just announced your retirement and you were on here telling us how it was such a big thing to get your head around because you've spent so long with that pressure. This must be bringing it all back.
Yep.
Because John has just described a home midweek game against St Johnstone as Rangers' biggest of the season, and you kind of get what it means.
I do, aye, 100%. I remember the feeling of getting up for a cup final, getting up for a Europa League game, and then you've got St Johnstone at home and you need to go, right, come on. And the fans are sitting there waiting, and if within 10-15 minutes you play a sideways pass, you can hear the groans. 20 minutes in, you play a sideways pass, the groans are like, right, when you're going forward, when we're going to score, and it starts to build and you can feel it. And it's some of the games were the hardest games because you had to find that enthusiasm, you had to find that it was such an important game. And I don't think Rangers have been great. I think they've picked up results, but I don't think they've been good. Watching their performances, we talk about no picking the bones out the one at the weekend because they won the cup. But actually, just watching it for like a point of view of just seeing how they're doing, and if they're battering teams like Aberdeen, and it's, the first half was, I thought Rangers were average. I thought Aberdeen pressed them well and Rangers just lumped it forward. For me, there wasn't any element of control in the game. But the results cover that up a wee bit. So we'll see how they go tonight. You'd imagine St Johnstone sit behind the ball and Rangers have a lot of the ball, you would imagine. But these games are big, and it's as a player, you need to be ready for that. I mean, when you've not been used to it, and you've not been at a club like Rangers, then it takes a while to get used to that.
Rather this being a big, can't believe former Celtic defender Charlie Mulgrew says Rangers haven't been great, I actually feel like a lot of Rangers fans will recognise it, Marvin. They recognise that the results have been there, and that's brilliant. And there's maybe more to come from the performances, which in a roundabout way might even encourage them, because it looks like the first thing the manager's added is a winning mentality, which might be the hardest bit.
Yeah, winning mentality. I think you hear some of the fans talk about, they seem like they have a structure both with and without the ball now that was maybe missing before. Obviously they're getting width back into the team, but yeah, I think the Rangers players will tell you themselves that, you know, they 100% know. But you know, a sign of a good team is when you're not playing to, you know, your full capabilities, you're still winning games of football. And you know, they know if they win today, they close that gap at the top to 2 points with only one game to go. So yeah, I think they're definitely a work in progress, and like we said, the manager will know that as well.
Come on then, what are you thinking? Thank you to Alan, 0141 951 1025. You want to keep going on tonight's games, you want to give us the view from the other side of the city or anything else entirely, pick up the phone right now and we'll get you on next.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West for 50 years. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Charlie Mulgrew and Marvin Bartley are here at 01419511025, or we are on Twitter at Clyde SSB. But I was having a scan through, and rather than, you know, like really insightful football tweets, I've just got one from Mr. RFK which says, God, Charlie's so handsome, ain't he? Come on, Mr. RFK. Don't leave Marvin out.
Come on, Mr.
Come on, Mr. Spread the love a little bit. Which is in stark contrast to last night. No offence if they're listening, but I got an unbelievable tweet today. Like, I love this, right? From Jeff McGonigal. So last night we had Roger Hanna and Gordon DL. And Roger's, he's got new specs, right? And you can picture exactly what Gordon DL looks like. Jeff McGonigal says, it was great to see the old duo of Harold Bishop and Lou Carpenter back together last night. Actually, look at you. I don't know if you can both see this. That is a dead ringer, isn't it? That is spectacular. What a shout from Jeff McGonigal. And it was great to see Harold Bishop and Lou Carpenter together in the studio last night. So anyway, we move on to this evening's games. Andy is a Rangers fan. Are you going to the game, Andy?
Just coming into Glasgow now, yeah, from Newcastle. Got my wee boy Charlie in the back as well. So, long drive, but looking forward to it, yeah.
Named after Mulgrew, no?
Charlie, no, actually my dad, but he's a Celtic fan as well.
Oh,
so,
there we go, then. Maybe something close there. And I appreciate the effort coming all the way from Newcastle, because Marvin can barely make it here on time from wherever he comes from. You've had to put in the hard miles. Do you always come up? Is this, you know, how are you feeling on the back of Sunday's cup success?
Yeah, brilliant. I was on the supporters bus for Sunday, and this was a game originally I had penciled in to miss, just time of year, a lot of games, busy family life. But I think this is what Clermont's done for us as a club. The fan base is reconnected with the team. We've got a belief about us. And Charlie made the point, no, Rangers aren't playing well, no pretty on the eye. Rangers are down to the bare bones, and we're getting a tune out, a team that was stuttering 2 months ago. So at this point, and I'm sure Charlie and Marvin have been in their careers, when your team is struggling as it is through injuries and a busy period, you just want to get the wins, and we weren't doing that under previous managers, and we are now. So for me, yeah, I had to come up to this one. Chance to close the gap tonight. I think put a bit more pressure on a team that's not been used to pressure for quite some time, and you can see how they're reacting to it. So yeah, I'm looking forward to tonight.
I mean, I think it'd be an interesting challenge, because I know there's the reputation, if you like, and everyone knows the 4-6-0. But I feel like, I don't know, I feel like St Johnstone have been a bit more open than, or a bit more adventurous maybe than people thought they were going to be. I don't know if any of you had the chance to see much. Is that fair?
Yeah, no, I've seen them. Yeah, no, I do agree with that. I think they have been more attacking. I don't think, listen, the performances under Macca outward, I think the St Mirren one were actually that poor. But no, as Charlie said earlier, no, Craig's got them well drilled. As his teams always are, they are adventurous. You know, they get it up to the centre forward and try and work off that. But you know, I don't expect them to cause Rangers many problems today. And as I said, that's not being disrespectful to St Johnstone. I just expect Rangers to, you know, really blow them away tonight.
What else are you thinking, Andy? Because there's a lot going on. There's all these big games. We know January's round the corner. As you said, you're still probably looking for more from the squad. What else are you thinking?
I think the question of, apparently we're back in talks with Morelos. And if it's Alfredo Morelos of 4 years ago, then sign him up. But it's not. It's Alfredo Morelos who's not played for 6 months, bar three cameo appearances for Santos. So for me, that's an absolute not for me. And I don't think he's a Clermont type player either. Shankland is.
Let's deal with them one at a time, because they're both very, very good talking points. And I'm interested as well. Right, when he left Santos, I feel like it was a bit of a people just putting two and two together. And Andy says it's surely not a Clermont type. But he's right in the sense that that rumour has picked up pace today. I can see your social media. You see the WhatsApps.
Bad signing for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't see it.
I've never seen it in Morelos, to be honest with you.
Even at his pomp, like Europa
didn't
League.
Play against him in his pomp.
Okay.
When I played against him.
So that was the kind of last couple of seasons, wasn't it?
Last couple of seasons. And even before, when I seen him, he had a good run in Europe, I thought. It might just have been the games I saw him, but I never saw the hype in Morelos ever. And when I played against him, I felt like he was lazy, and
just disinterested, really, in me. I never seen... the one thing I felt for him is he could in the box, he would come alive and maybe get a yard and he would find a bit of space in the box. But I never ever saw the hype in Morelos, and that's the truth for me.
I think the... Obviously, as Andy says, that 4 years ago and that Europa League run and all that sort of stuff, if you can guarantee that, oh my, the 6 months... Would 6 month deal or whatever would be a no brainer, but the word if seems to be doing a lot of heavy lifting, no?
Yeah, no, I agree with that, you know, and it's a big if. You know, obviously we know the way that he left Rangers, he wasn't the same player as the one you're speaking about, you know, prior to that. So that's a difficulty. You know, personally, I can't see it happening. I don't think he really fits into the current setup. As Andy said, he's not played a lot of football either. So, you know, physically, what sort of shape is he going to be in terms of fitness and match fitness, etc. So, yeah, I don't think it's one that they will go. And it would be expensive as well, Gordon, I think, wage-wise.
It's interesting, though, because if you'd asked me last week, I'd have totally shared that with you. And whether it's just the rumour mill, I've had one or two more messages about it today than I expected. But anyway, Andy, the other name you mentioned, though.
Yeah, and just finally on Morelos, we need to move away as a club from signing players if we can get them fit, because there's been too much of that now for 3 or 4 years, and Aaron Ramsey at the top of that list, enough said. For me, Shankland, yeah, and I hear a lot of conversations on various podcasts and shows and whatnot that Shankland has no resale value at 28 or 29 years of old. He's going to be, forget the resale value, if Shankland comes into Rangers, he will likely score between 7 to 8 goals on the low end and 12 to 15 goals on a higher end between now and the end of the season, given his chance conversion rate. That wins us the league potentially, which gets you into the new Champions League and the new format with the 9 games. That's a £50 million price pot. So there's your £47 million difference. So pay the £3 million and, do you know what, give them Alec Lowry as well as a sweetener, because there's a myth around Lowry that's a whole other conversation that isn't there and hasn't ever been seen outside of a reserve game. So give them Lowry, maybe another youth player, and give them £3 million, and I think Hearts would be silly not to take that money. And Shankland wants to come, to be fair.
See, the long drives from Newcastle to Ibrox give Andy lots of thinking time. He has got this, he's got it all planned out.
He really does.
What's more likely, that Lauren Shankland or Alfredo Morelos is a Rangers striker come January?
Probably Morelos.
You think so?
No, I would think Shankland. I didn't think anything of the Morelos stuff until you said it just now. But on his points with Shankland, I totally agree. You know, he's been brilliant for Hearts. You know, he's an excellent striker, an excellent finisher. The chances that Rangers create, he'll be converting them, because like Andy said there, his conversion rate is extremely high. And I think domestically, you know, he can definitely score goals. I always hear people say, oh, but what can he do in Europe? I think you just have to worry about what he can do domestically. It's about winning the league for them. So I think he can be a difference maker. And then you have Danilo and Dessers as well. You know, you've got your three strikers there. So I would definitely be going for Shankland if it was something that was viable.
Yeah, definitely. I would take Shankland in a minute. 100%. I think you'll get him for a lot less than £3 million as well.
Oh, and Budge's on the phone. Disagreeing, Nick, so?
I think so. I think you get him for £1.5-2 million.
Oh, Hearts fans are not going to have that. I mean, I think I saw Lee McCulloch saying something similar, and the Hearts fans were all over him.
I think so. Definitely. I think you will. Definitely.
One of the best strikers in Scotland at the moment. Hold out for a bit more.
Nah, how long has he got left his contract?
I can't remember.
I think you've got to go 3, Charlie. I do. I think so? You're close to 3, yeah. I just think that they won't have it otherwise. They won't entertain it.
Yeah.
I know listen, when Celtic and Rangers come for you, especially when you're playing domestically, that deal's going to get done somewhere.
Has somebody come out and said that they want £3 million? Is that what £3 million came for?
I don't know specifically. What was it that they had their AGM? What was the word again? A significant fee, something like that. It was something along those lines, Andrew McKinley said, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think you do £1.5-2 million. I think the fans go, I don't think it's even worse.
They go crazy.
Yeah.
Because they're already not. They're not all loving what's going on at Hearts right now either, are they? That sometimes can play a part.
And how do you replace him with that? Nah, I think any close to £3 million, I think, would be fair. I think Rangers will pay it.
Like, I think Andy's, it's a big dependence on when his contract ends as well.
There must be a decent enough length.
Yeah, he must have
it.
Like at least another season.
Let me write. He's contracted to 2025, so two years left.
2 years, yeah.
How is he?
Yeah. £3 million now.
He's had to up that, hasn't he? Charlie's haven't had
2.75.
There we go. He's revised his offer. Right, let's go to Ibrox, because we've had a bit of debate. Will there be change? Won't there be change? Who will play? Well, I can tell you, Gabriel has the answers.
Yes, I do, Gordon. Philippe Clement has rung the changes from the weekend's League Cup final victory against Aberdeen. Five players come into the starting lineup, including Kemar Roofe, who makes his first start under Philippe Clement, and Kieran Dowell in midfield, making his first start since August. So in total, you've got Suter, Ridvan Yilmaz, Dowell, Roofe and Lammers all coming back in, whilst Balogun, Barisic, Sterling, Cantwell and Dessers are all out. Let's have a look at the 11 then. It'll be Jack Butland in goal, a defence of James Tavernier, Connor Goldson, John Suter and Ridvan Yilmaz. It'll be John Lundstrom and Kieran Dowell in midfield. Sam Lammers just in front of them. It will be Ross McCausland and Abdelazim on the wings. Kemar Roofe, as we know, leads the line. Substitutes McCrory, Dessers, Cantwell, Matondo, Sterling, Wright, Balogun, Barisic and King.
Kieran Dowell, a second league start. That's looked away off a couple of weeks ago. Marvin, but in that area of the pitch, Rangers are down to the bare bones, and there is a number of changes. So
yeah, again, I'm not surprised at all by the change. We spoke about it, didn't we? Kind of the physical aspect of Sunday's game, but also the mental one. And as I said, there'll be players on the side that'll be chomping at the bit to put that shirt back on. The feel good factor will be at Rangers now, as I said, after lifting the League Cup, and they want to be out there. They want to be on the pitch, and you know what better game to do it than a home game. So. Yeah, the five changes doesn't surprise me at all. I think the manager will be saying to them, listen, this is now your chance. You have to go and prove to me that, you know, after the January window, you deserve to still be here. You know, you want to be a part of what we're building. So, yeah, expect a response out of those players.
Okay, we don't have long. Let's try and squeeze one in before the travel. Craig is in Knightswood. How's it going, Craig?
Hi, I'm not too bad, yourself.
Not bad. Take it away, Craig. What have you got for us?
All right, Craig.
Yeah, no, it was just Charlie's comment on Morelos not adding too much as a striker. I just don't understand that at
good,
all.
Good, I knew somebody would pick him up on it. You take him to task, Craig. Put him in his place.
Yeah, I mean, Alfredo at his best was the best striker in Scotland at his time, in my opinion.
I don't agree with you.
I wouldn't take him back, but I don't think he was as bad.
You wouldn't
as
take the best striker in Scotland in his time back?
Well, if he was at the form he was at in the 2019 season, yes, you would take him back. That form is not. I just don't understand why Charlie's saying he wasn't that good a striker.
I think Charlie based it. He based it mostly on
mostly on playing against him in the last 2 years.
But I am surprised you sort of added caveats about even before that.
Even before that, any time I saw him, at Old Firm games, his goal record in Old Firm games is poor.
That's true.
But I think he brought more to the team than just goals.
I disagree. That's a totally disagree. I think that's all I saw for him was goals. I thought he was lazy. He didn't work hard. I thought I didn't see it. I'll be honest with you. I can only judge it from what I saw and what I played against, and that's what I saw. Yeah. I'm sure that you went to many Rangers games. If you go to the games and you saw something else, but that's why it's about opinions.
You would see him running for the team, and he would drop in, and he would pick the ball up, and he would help.
I saw him with his face tripping him walking about.
Marvin, you played against him and Coatwell coached against him.
Yeah, tried to get near him a couple of times and didn't. I think, as I said, if it's the one that was in his prime at Rangers, I think you take him. I think anyone takes him. You know, listen, take away the connection of him playing for Rangers as a player in this league. Say he was doing that for, say, a Hearts or whatever. I think Celtic or Rangers take him if he was in his prime. But as Craig said, you know, the one that left Rangers, I don't think, you know, makes sense. Mm. So that's not a good signing. But him at his best,
what did you 100%. See? What did you see at his peak, though? Because Charlie's even going back to sort of almost not ever fully getting it. But you...
I think he was tough to play against. I think, you know, when you're coaching against or playing against, he was always someone that, you know, you spoke about. And listen, I kind of get what Charlie's saying, because sometimes it would be like he's not in the mood, but it would come off the pitch with two goals, you know, and that was the thing. Don't get me wrong, there was parts of his game that could definitely have been improved. And I think at times his finishing wasn't the best when he did get opportunities. But, you know, that being said, he was still a top striker for me in Scotland, and I believe at his best, you know, any team would be silly not to take him.
Right, we'll leave it there, Craig. Thank you very much. Running a bit late, and this is a good chance for you to get involved. Last time out, the Make Me A Winner call went to five rings unanswered again. There are only two more chances to win life-changing cash ahead of Christmas, so get yourself in the draw. Do not miss out. Tomorrow it is £245,000 when we make the call. You need to text yes to 61025. Text for £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com for £2 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only. Entries since Christine won on Friday have rolled over, and all the rules for this network competition are online. The important bit: if you get the call after 3pm tomorrow, answer within five rings, say "make me a winner" straight away to win £245,000, and it goes straight into your bank after the call as well. So text yes to 61025, and we'll be back after these.
Glasgow and the West's league leader for 50 years, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Charlie McGrew and Marvin Bartley are here as we build up to kick off at Ibrox, and of course Pittodrie will do that later on as well. Keep your calls coming on the usual number, and you can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB if you want to get your thoughts over, and please do. I think we can do the St Johnstone team as well. We just told you numerous changes for Rangers, a second league start ever for Kieran Dowell, which is quite a turnaround, I suppose, and various other changes as well. Yilmaz in and Suter in and so on. Gabriel, what about St Johnstone?
Yeah, just a couple of changes for St Johnstone, Gordon. Their team just come out right now. I'll give you a quick run through it. It will be Mitov in goal, a defence of Gordon, Considine, Robinson. 16-year-old Fran Frajtak keeps his place in the team. He'll be in midfield along with Sprangler, Phillips, Smith and Olafunya. And then you've got Kucharevi and Jamesy up top. J.S. Simi, sorry, it's a poor pronunciation.
We'll go for some Jamesy.
Jamesy,
yeah.
I know.
What about some back home?
J.S. Simi, sorry, up top. I hope he doesn't hear that. Let's go through the substitutes as well. Richards, Gallagher, McGowan, May, Kane, Clark, Carey, Turner Cook, and Costello.
Do you know what I've just realised, right? The St Johnstone starting 11 is really interesting. The Rangers starting 11, really interesting. Personnel wise, do you know what I think the biggest decision could be tonight?
What?
Whether or not Rangers decide to put a Santa Claus on the pitch. Alright, see this over your head.
Yeah, massively.
You know that Saturday was so bad for Celtic that the fans booed Santa when he came on the pitch. Did you not hear
no.
this? So
no.
You were obviously busy, right? Yeah. You had had other fish to fry. Queen of the South obviously won, that's why he's
here.
That's
why I'm back.
But they booed Santa, right? And it became like a thing, like we'd callers after the game and so on, and like that's how bad it was. Like, you know, booed Santa. So in this tit for tat world of one upmanship and city rivalry, surely someone at Rangers has got Santa coming out with the League Cup trophy or something along those lines. Surely.
How much can we say about Santa here? Is this a family show?
It's a very much a family show.
Good, good.
Right, good, very much.
Santa's a great guy. Yeah,
he'll be busy, I think.
Do you think so?
Yeah. Was it 5 days before Christmas? something like that.
But it's an open goal,
yeah,
is it not?
Yeah, it is. Sounds like you could have set this up. You got contacts up there, have you?
I don't know any Santa impersonators, I must admit.
But do you know they're turning off?
If he was getting paid for it, maybe. But other than that, I don't know. No, actually, funnily enough, and again, I'm now going to have to word this in a certain way. When I first started this job, the boss at the time said, like, above everything else, saying the wrong thing about Santa.
Yes.
Was genuinely the biggest crime you could commit on this show. Genuinely.
Wow.
Above swearing, above. And I mean us, I don't mean like the callers.
Yeah,
I mean like,
yeah.
So there you go.
Rightly so.
So yeah, there we are. Let's just move on.
And you panicked there when I mentioned
that? Oh yeah, yeah. Let's just move quickly. Right, Serge, take us back to football, please, before we get ourselves in trouble.
Yeah, I'd just like to thank you for coming on. Merry Christmas to you all.
Same
Merry
to you, Christmas, Serge. Mate. What are you thinking tonight?
Hopefully it should be an easy win. Should be. If we don't win tonight, there's no point Celtic dropping points or we can't capitalise. Sunday's gone. Yeah, it's great to get a trophy. We'll see it tonight, hopefully. But we've just got to keep going. And Charlie, I want to say to Charlie as well, Charlie, have you seen Celtic recently? We know Rangers aren't great.
Aye.
There's some Celtic fans but think Celtic are still world beaters.
Nah, they're no, I agree with you.
No, by the way, big man, no offence, right? I thought you'd
this is going to be offensive.
Years ago, big man.
I
thought you'd retired years ago, big man.
No offence, he says before.
No offence, but your legs were gone 5 years ago.
I'm only pulling your leg, big man. No, we're going to get 3 points tonight.
Is that Morelos shout hurt you? Is that what you're coming for here?
No, I don't want Morelos back. I don't want Alfie back. As good as what he was the first time, even if we're getting him for nothing. He down tools for 2 to 5 years for me at times. So once you go here. You very rarely get a second chance. I know we're not playing well, right? But we didn't play well for years under Smith. And we won stuff. Nobody was complaining at the end of the season, weren't they, when the trophies were coming in? Know what I mean?
I don't think anybody's complaining either now, are they, Serge? It's just more like I say, you can spin it almost to be like, this is a good thing because this team is going to get better when they get players back and get players in and they're already winning. You know, it doesn't have to be seen as a criticism.
Do you know what it's really good for in general, Scottish football as a whole, because it's new as a two horse race instead of a possession for either team. You know what I mean? It can only be good for Scottish football when both teams have to win every week and nobody's playing catch up or nobody's playing. So to me, it's up to your players to rise because there's no much to beat across the city as far as I'm concerned. I've seen Celtic numerous times this year and you can say all you want about Rangers. That's a bad team all there as well. That's a hell of a bad team.
Well, listen, something's obviously going wrong if we are where we are on the 20th of December compared to where everybody thought it was going to be. I don't even know how many weeks ago, 7, 8 weeks ago.
Yeah. No, I agree with you, Serge. I don't think Celtic have been great recently. A big part of the season that they've not been free flowing and scoring goals and looking great either. So
has that surprised you? It has surprised
me because I thought after the 0-0 draw at St Johnstone at home that the penny had dropped with Celtic and it felt like they were really going to go motor through and I think there was a 7-point gap or maybe more at one point and you thought Rangers were never going to get back, but they seem to have a bit of a dip at the moment, and I think he's right in what he says. It's both teams just aren't playing well. And when you mention Walter Smith's team there, no playing well and winning things. If you get a team that are going to win every game and limp through every game and no play well, that you would take that, of course. But I'm looking at it from a point of view of they're no dominating games, they're no free flowing winning by loads of goals, Rangers, and you think, is that a sign that it's not going to continue? But it could be a sign that they're a team that are winning when they're not playing.
Here's
so good.
One. Let me just. On you go, Serge, quickly if you can.
See what I think will be the decisive factor. We've got a squad of players not so good who seem to be playing for the manager, but it's the opposite across the city, and that might be decisive because they aren't playing for Rodgers. I'm telling you the truth.
It's an interesting theory, Serge. Who did you tip to win the league? Marvin Bartley.
Rangers.
Yeah, I thought I had that in the back of my head.
No, I did.
You've been keeping that up your sleeve.
Yeah, because the gap was massive. So you tried to forget about
it. I got hammered when I first said it.
And by the way, you might still be wrong, of course.
No, exactly. But let's be honest, I didn't see Bale getting changed or whatever. But I did say Rangers, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that.
Just with
because the vast majority of pundits, I think, went. We always do it for a bit of fun at the start of the season. I think naturally, I mean, the bookies would have backed up. It's not controversial. Most did go for Celtic. But I thought I remembered that you...
I did.
Just pretend you saw this coming.
Yeah,
this
turnaround. I saw all of it.
They might, I don't know what it will finish up, but it's certainly close at the moment, that's for sure. Thank you to Serge. It's time for this already.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, surely tonight's Beat the Pundit cannot be as eventful as last night. Did you hear about it?
No.
Last night?
Yeah, I heard about it today.
Christopher from Ayrshire phoned in and he sounded a bit odd to me. To me, clearly sounded like someone putting on a voice, and it turned out it was Chris with a K from Ayrshire, i.e. Boyd,
who
phoned in and took on Roger Hanna and beat him on the tiebreaker, and Roger's unbeatable.
Oh, I didn't say that Boydie beat him.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I've probably spoiled it. Go to YouTube to watch the full clip. But if you heard it last night, then the spoiler's out there. But so it was a draw. It went, Roger starts on -1 because he's so good. And they both got them all right. And it went to the tiebreaker. And then Roger kind of gave away what his answer was.
Oh, no.
Somebody beat Roger. That's unbelievable.
I know.
But then Roger thinks it's a big conspiracy. He's not happy about it.
Yeah, no, I'll go with Roger on that because you were in and around Mr. Boyd because you had your Christmas. Yeah, right. I'm with Roger.
Right, but this is the thing. This is what you and Roger, simpletons in my mind, haven't even addressed. What did you do about the coin? I showed it to Roger Hanna. I showed him that it was heads. So if it had been tails, it would be Gordon DeYellen.
Yeah,
the
but either way, he was gonna win. Let's be honest, he didn't need any help to beat Gordon. I just don't know if
But this is the thing. Before the call, before the coin, he came on. I want Roger.
Oh, okay, no.
Roger thinks he's been set up
to beat Roger, but he's set up to win.
Anyway, any other?
I'm with you, Roger.
Any other footballers, past or present, want to play tonight? You can. Anyone who's listening, 01419511025, and you need to call before the end of the news.
First for football for 50 years. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Charlie McGrew and Marvin Bartley are here at 01419511025. And it is Twitter at Clyde SSB. Lots been said about the Rangers game tonight, understandably, coming off the back of Sunday's League Cup success. Will that be a confidence booster, a momentum builder, or can there be a hangover on nights like this? You let us know. We've given you the team. There are quite a few changes. It's an interesting team, and we can also move on and go in a different direction if you would prefer it. Aberdeen, of course, playing Livingston tonight. We'll get to that. Celtic fans, what's on your mind? It's obviously been a very kind of angry, frustrated few days. How do you feel in the middle of the week? We'll hear from Callum McGregor, and you can add your thoughts as well right now whilst we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Aidan is in Alloa. Aidan, is that that's your real name? You're not like some sort of ex-footballer in disguise?
Oh, I wish.
Good, that sounds convincing, to
yeah,
be fair.
I believe it.
After last night, we're going through an extra vetting process. I did sort of quip on Twitter that actually the backup tiebreaker for last night was how many beers has Chris from Ayrshire had whilst he's playing Beat the Pundit? Please drink responsibly and all that sort of stuff. So, are you, and you're sober, Aidan, yes?
I'm very sober.
Good. That's great. Do you know what is actually, this is the beauty of Twitter, right? Just quickly before we move on, you've obviously upset a lot of Rangers fans because you said because you never really rated Morelos the way everyone else did.
Yep.
Lasunas has tweeted in a clip, and it's your clip. Do you know which one? Obviously, the fuming. That's bitter, that, isn't it?
Oh,
the interview that you gave. So now it's you.
I thought I was getting flattened in Morelos somewhere.
No.
Getting me in the top corner.
So it's you using your own words against yourself. I like that. I can see that there. Do you want to know what's even more amazing about that clip? I think you might be wearing the same jumper.
Let's see.
I don't know. It's certainly a black sort of polo neck, no?
No. That's after a game interview. That's my Dundee United.
Right, you're off the hook. Who was that again? Who were you talking about being bitter again?
Mark McGee was called against Dundee.
So it was. Anyway, I get distracted there. Heads, it will be Marvin Bartley. Tails, it's Charlie McGrew. Let me warn you, they're quite difficult tonight. I've just had a peek. They were easy last night. They are tough. It is heads. It's Marvin Bartley.
Oh, man. They are tough.
Anyway, right.
Aidan, all the best, mate.
Oh, you too, mate.
Don't know the answer, just pass, buddy, all right?
Oh, God, I've probably done that a few times.
Me and you both.
He's wasted my spiel. But anyway, right, give the Greatest Hits radio in Marvin's earphones, please. And it's quite simple, Aidan. As he says, if you want to pass and move on, that's fine. And you've got 30 seconds to fly through these, okay?
No boss, cheers.
Right, your 30 seconds starts now. James Forrest's brother plays for which Scottish team?
Hearts.
Name any of the Highland League sides left in the Scottish Cup.
Pass.
Graham Souness played for which Italian team?
Lazio.
Prospective Hibs investor Bill Foley owns which English team?
Bournemouth.
In what Euro group are Scotland in?
G.
Who got automatic promotion to the Scottish Championship last season?
Dunfermline.
Okay, let's bring back Marvin Bartley. Can you hear us, Marvin?
Yeah.
Are you there? Are you okay?
Yeah.
Good. Just making sure. Not nervous?
Yeah, come on, just start the question.
You are one of the pundits that's had a zero, aren't you?
What are you
I was genuinely trying to remember. Was
I thought
that
going
this
into
season?
A boxing match saying, remember you knocked out last time. Yeah,
is
brilliant.
That this season?
Were
we
yeah,
in
this
studio?
Yeah, it was.
That would be the giveaway.
I can't remember.
Right, so was it
yeah,
televised?
I think it was.
It was televised. Good, right. 30 seconds to Marvin and your time starts now. James Forrest's brother plays for which Scottish team?
Hearts.
Name any of the Highland League teams left in the Scottish Cup.
Ross County.
Graham Souness played for which Italian side?
Sampdoria.
Prospective Hibs investor Bill Foley owns which English club?
Burnley.
In what Eurogroup are Scotland in?
D.
Who got automatic promotion to the Scottish Championship last season?
Dunfermline.
What club connects John McGinn, Miksu Patalainen and Russell Latipi?
Hibs. No zero today.
Aidan, what do you think?
I think he's got me.
Aidan, I hope so, buddy.
You got one more question in than Aidan.
Okay.
And I like how you're really smug about one of the Hibs questions.
What was that about?
That's horrendous from you. We'll get to that. James Forrest's brother plays for Hearts. You both got it. You, of course, worked with him at Livy. Mm-hmm. So an easy one for you, but Aidan got it as well. Ross County, I've got news for you, right? This may surprise you. They play in the Scottish Premiership. They don't play in the Highland League.
I just thought of a team from the Highlands.
Right, that's not what I said though, is it?
Right, Highland League, nah.
Is it Brora?
Uh-huh, and?
Do you know what, that came into my mind.
So you went for like a much worse answer instead, despite it coming to your mind. The obvious one, who does Celtic play? Bucky. Celtic against Bucky Thistle in the next.
See, I don't know that.
Well, it's not Ross County
Bucky
though.
Is a drink?
Oh my goodness, Charlie, do you want to take over?
Is that
is Buckfast, eh?
Yeah.
What's that got to do with it?
No, just want to know that answer. You might come up and beat the pundit.
Are you genuinely that sort of innocent to our ways and customs that you're not quite sure if Bucky is a drink?
No, I've heard that like a few times in our person with drinking Bucky and it's not a good thing
to
drink.
So you've never sampled it?
No.
No? Charlie, is he missing out?
No, he's not missing out.
Chris Boyd one night, Buckfast the next night. What's going on here?
Knowledge is power. That 2-2.
That's one each.
I should have confused you.
Graham Souness played for Sampdoria, I'm afraid. Aidan. Oh no, Aidan got it, sorry.
Yeah. No, he didn't.
No, you got it. You got it.
No, he didn't, Aidan.
You've thrown me off, you're right. Marvin goes one in front. I'll tell you what, so Aidan, how bad is this? How bad? Former. Prospective Hibs investor Bill Foley owns which English club? Right. Now, you've managed to get your own history mixed up here because you're a big Hibs man and you've went for your other former club in Burnley.
Mm-hmm.
What about Bournemouth? Do you know he used to play for Bournemouth as well?
Yes.
It's Bournemouth and Aidan got it.
Well, wow!
Mr. Hibs and Bournemouth over here.
That was... what do I think it was, Burnley?
Aidan's in front.
No, how?
No, I'm just trying to wind you up now. Scotland are in Group A. None of you got that. You both got Dunfermline, which I don't know who I was impressed more at there. That to me is like, I can't explain it, but that's like my least favourite type of question. See that like kind of recent knowledge? Like, I just think there's something hard about
that. It's a massive delay for me, that
you
one.
Both got Dunfermline, so we're still level, yeah?
Yeah, but there's one more question that Aidan didn't get.
There's one more question.
Aidan, you know how this ends.
And listen, if Mr. Hibs here had got two Hibs questions wrong, they would be revoking his honorary season ticket. So John McGinn, Miksu Patalainen and Russell Latipi. The annoying thing is, Aidan, you'd have got that, wouldn't you?
Oh, definitely.
Just weren't quick enough. It is Hibs and it's 4-3
to
Marvin.
Can I just
Marvin
say something?
Bartley.
There's a really good link between that question, other than the Hibs thing. Miksu was on a course I was on the other... just yesterday, he's a talker, a guest speaker, whatever you call them. So, Aidan, unlucky, mate.
You tried, buddy.
4-3 is a decent game.
It is. No, that's a good game. There wasn't a lot of passing from us either. So, which
just
is good.
Committed to the wrong answer.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. Good on you, Aidan. Thank you for taking part, Aidan.
Thank you.
Take care, mate.
01419511025. It's another victory for the pundits. Although, I mean, last night there'll be all sorts of stewards' inquiries. I feel like last night was maybe. I don't know, are we putting that on Roger Hanna's record? Or is it like an honour? Is it like a friendly match, an exhibition match?
It goes on his record, but he can appeal it.
Because I think you're the only other pundit who's had to face a fellow member of the Scottish football fraternity. You hear this? Last season, Dougie Imrie phoned in to take on Marvin.
Called him so angry.
But then
as well.
Lost.
Because he kept saying he was going to beat me. We were working at Livy then. Yeah, we were. No, he must have been at Morton. It was last season. But he kept saying he was going to beat me and he called up was terrible.
Honestly, but there we go. Well done. Thanks to Aidan and well done to Marvin.
Grudgingly.
01419511025. Right, a lot's been said in the aftermath of Celtic's defeat at the weekend. They've had a few moments like this this season, whether it's been Champions League, whether it was kind of Kilmarnock or St Johnston or this one against Hearts. And it leads to all manner of things, doesn't it? About, you know, like the manager and the players and the style and the recruitment. That's before we get to Santa Claus and any of that stuff. Let's hear the thoughts on the sort of recruitment side of things and what's been going wrong, so to speak, with the captain, Callum McGregor.
You know, we sit here and probably what is one of the hardest days of my career as a Celtic player to come off and get beat here. We're giving ourselves a mountain to climb at the minute. You can't keep putting yourself in that position, and that's the reality. If you want to go and win this league, you have to do everything. You have to do all the facets of the game, and they're all equally as important, with disrespecting the parts of the game that other teams live on. We're still sort of fortunate that it's December. You know, there's still a lot of football to be played. We've got a transfer window that can help the group, and I'm almost certain that needs to be a big window to help us. So we will fix it. We start the season well and everyone thinks the league's wrapped up, and look at where we're sitting there. It tells you that it's difficult and it's not easy, and there's bits in the season where you have to deal with disappointment. You have to deal with it quickly before it starts to fester.
Brian is a Celtic fan on the line. Brian, is it down to the transfer window to fix this, or, you know, should the current group and manager be doing more?
Well, here's my point on this. I go to every game. We've been through a bad patch. We're not a bad team. We've just gone through a bad patch. There's key players that are falling below a standard that was set, and that is the difference. No disrespect, and congratulations to Rangers on winning the third trophy on the Sunday. Again, a game that would get football stopped. I'm talking about, what type of football have you seen this season that's excited you? It came for Celtic and Europe and Rangers, that's excited. But in Scottish football, the best football that's been played so far has been played by Celtic. That's the reason why they're in front. Not because other teams have lost. So they come up against a team that is holding back, sitting back. There is not the key players that is in the squad just now, even if you are adding in January, which I hope they do, mm-hmm. because they missed a trick in the summer to really, you know, do it again. Do it again. They've got the money. Do it again. What you've done the years before with Ange, and allow that money, that early money, that early recruitment system. It was not just the manager. He didn't bring anybody. He came himself. He didn't educate all that system to get what they got out of the two seasons that was great with Ange. And then the transition over to Brendan. We are not a bad team. We're a good team.
But see, just quickly, Brian, you know, you said about, you know, Celtic have played the best football. That's why they're out in front. Yeah. I mean, right now, because of the points dropped at the weekend, you could say Celtic are only out in front because they've played two more games.
Yes, and I fully accept that, but it's December. And here's the thing, traditionally, and this is, like, you can go back and look on the January, Celtic kick on in January. We'll get a half-decent window, a good window, even a semi-decent window. And the players that are coming back are a better footballing side than anybody else in the country.
Is there no concern, though? Is there no concern? Can you understand? Because, listen, I don't mind when people are optimistic. That's fine. But can you understand where your fellow Celtic fans who are not that optimistic have just looked at the summer window and how bad it's been up until this point? You're now going into what is a more difficult window, and you're really confident that it'll be a great window. What if the recruitment's of the same standard?
Well, what if it's of the standard that was two seasons ago? What will we do if we're doing what ifs and what? I'll speak about wishing and wanting and hoping. Wishing and wanting and hoping gets you zero.
You're wishing and wanting and hoping for a good January window to fix this.
No, I say to you that we already have the personnel within the building at this moment to win this league, and I will stand by that until we don't. But I believe that the team that is available to Celtic, week in, week out, when we've got all our injuries back and key players that are missing, key players that have been missing through the season, no settled Celtic team, but we've had some sparkling football. And why does it not continue? Because there's the X, Y, and Z of it.
But is that not just what you need to do, Brian, at the top clubs? I mean, I know I know the comparisons are always there and it's an easy one, but I mean, Rangers have just won a trophy with Dujon Sterling in midfield. No, everybody has key players missing, don't they?
Yeah, yeah, they were playing Aberdeen, and we beat Aberdeen 6-1. My point is you know, you can come up with, you know, like, Rangers are a better side than they were under Beale. Much better, right? But we are not much worse than we were a season ago when we won a treble. We've had an unlucky... I would say unlucky for Celtic, but at times it looks sloppy. It looks like, you know, that passing across the back, that's Brendan's stamp on the game, and that is down to him to move and change that.
And that is all fair to me. I'm, you know, I'm testing Brian's theory. I don't want Brian to change his opinion, but what you would say is there will be a lot of Celtic fans out there who disagree with that last bit where he says Celtic aren't much worse than they were last year. I think a lot of Celtic fans think they are much worse.
Well, they've not been as free flowing this year. It's last year was the Celtic have, for the last 10 to 12 years, have set the bar so high that now they're 5 points clear, albeit Rangers have got two games in hand, and it's a crisis. I think it reflects the bar that Celtic have set in the last 10 or 12 years. This is the first time for a while, take COVID season away, it's been a semi-normal season. You know, where both teams are, Celtic had a lead, Rangers have clawed it back. Now Celtic are 6 points clear, 5 points clear, and Rangers get two games in hand. And that's kind of how it should be between Celtic and Rangers. Celtic have been that far ahead in the last 10 to 12 years, hence the number of trophies that Rangers have picked up in that time, which is three, if you take away the cup they won. I don't know what it's even Petrofac called. Cup. The Petrofac, aye. So I think that just shows you the how far ahead Celtic are, and it's
is that not where a lot of the pain and frustration from Celtic fans comes from? Yeah. Though, you know, if you've got that lead, if you've got that position of strength, how do you get back here so quickly from a Rangers team? As we've spent the first part of the show talking about, you don't think they're playing great. Mm. They are decimated with injuries, and yet they could go top of the league.
But how far does Celtic keep going and keep going and keep going away from Rangers, and how far the Rangers need to eventually been in the league for years now, that they made their way through the leagues, they're in the year that they've been back in the SPL for however long, they now need to sort of make that. Celtic can only go so far. They can't win the league by 15 points every single year. So,
but have they regressed though? You know, because that's fine if you're saying the Rangers
they're going through a sticky spell, as every team does. I mean, as I say, the last 10, 12 years, and especially Brendan Rodgers' first time with a quadruple treble, then Ange comes in and wins a treble, a double, then a treble. I mean, we'll look back in that year.
You can't do that all the time.
You can't do that all the time. We're going to look back in that years to come and go, that was an unbelievable period for Celtic, and we took that for granted. An unbelievable period for any team that does that, Celtic or Rangers. So I think Celtic are in a bad spell at the moment. No playing great, they'll admit that themselves. But that's what happens when you play with Celtic and Rangers, especially Celtic, when the bar's that high, that people are seeing this as a huge crisis, when actually if you take a bit of calm and you have a look at the situation, there's still a big chance they'll win a double this year.
Yeah, no, I think that as well. You know, you hear people using that word that Charlie's saying, crisis, and, you know, the team's struggling and there's a massive panic. You know, if Rangers win their two games in hand, they're only 1 point ahead. So if that, you know, warrants a crisis or these other words that are being used, then, as Charlie says, it shows how high the bar has been set. And I think there'll be, you know, 11 or 10 other managers within that league that will want a Celtic crisis if that's, you know, what it comes out
that,
to be.
That is the point, but it is all relative then, isn't
it? Yeah, no, it is relative.
It's a Glasgow crisis. It's an old firm crisis. Yeah. It's not a genuine...
Yeah,
you know,
panic.
Not,
yeah, but I do believe that the team isn't... Listen, I think they were fantastic under Ange and the football he played, I think, you know, that he brought to Scotland. I do think, you know, and I wonder if, you know, during that spell when Celtic were winning games and, as Charlie said, they weren't playing at their best, players began to think, do you know what, this level that we're at the moment is good enough to keep turning it out. And I think you can kind of hear that from Callum McGregor. Because I remember playing against Celtic during the COVID season and, you know, obviously being at Livingston, and some of the players weren't doing what they needed to do. And he was actually on the pitch saying to them, that isn't the standard of Celtic. I mean, he was physically on the pitch saying this to other players. So I wonder if they've, you know, fallen again into that, listen, we only need to be at 80%, 85% to win games of football, and they were getting away with it. Now all of a sudden they're not, you know, it's two defeats on the bounce, and he's right, the players need to, it's not down to the manager, The players need to take some responsibility. You're at Celtic. Forget about recruitment and all these other things, because the players that Celtic have recruited would get into the 10 other teams outside of Rangers within the Premier League. So you should, if you're losing to Rangers, listen, you understand that. But the other teams within that league, you know, that's not an acceptable reason for me.
So is there too much emphasis then put on, this can be fixed in January?
If you bring in new players, things can always be fixed. But I think it's a mentality thing. I think you heard Brendan speak about it. I think it's a mentality thing. And as Charlie said, when you play for Celtic, you are expected to win. You know, you don't come away from that. And they've lost two games in a row due to whatever. Because let's be honest, any of us three should be able to go in there with the players that Celtic have and be able to win games of football. So that, to me, says it's not the manager, because Brendan is a top manager and a top coach with John Kennedy and everything else in and around him. To me, it's over to the players. Mm. You know, the responsibility lies with them.
Thank you, Brian. 01419511025. Running late for this, and I'll get a full-time teaser next.
Glasgow and the West's league leader for 50 years. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Charlie Mulgrew are here. 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. We're going to give you team news and a look ahead to Aberdeen against Livy, because I suppose the questions that are surrounding Rangers tonight in terms of response to the League Cup final, you can kind of flip them on their head and look at Aberdeen, because they really need to get the league form going. So we'll look at that game in the not too distant future. You can keep your thoughts coming on whatever else is on your mind, and let me give these two a question.
The full time teaser with Sliding Wardrobe Solutions East Kilbride. Slat wall panels available in 7 colours, now in stock at East Kilbride at competitive prices.
Not sure about this question, you know, because like you are obviously like now an honorary member of the Scottish football setup. I don't know how far back Charlie goes, but anyway, right. So it's Jack Morrison who sent it, and it's at least a simple question. Can't promise that the answers are simple. Since Euro 92, and including Euro 92, who are the 7 men that have scored for Scotland at a major tournament? Since and including Euro 92. Who are the 7 men that have scored for Scotland at a major tournament? You can play along at home if you want to send some tweets. I'm almost certain you'll get them before these two do. And if no offence. And if you want to submit a question, that's, so it was Jack that sent that in. If for some reason you've just started listening and think, what is this? That's the beauty of the full-time teaser. You send the questions in and the pundits try and answer your question. So Jack gets all the credit for tonight's. And you can get involved by emailing fulltime@clyde1.com. So, any to kick us off?
McCoist.
Yes. Euro 96.
That was my only guess.
John Collins.
Yep. Right.
There you go.
Right, surely you can go for at least like. There has been one.
It's a team game. No.
But there's been one and one only since you came to these parts, since you embraced Scottish football and it embraced you.
McGinn?
No. So you don't really remember. I mean, I know we didn't do much at the last Euros, but.
I was trying to think who scored. No.
Do you know?
I'm trying to think. By the way, is it just the Euros?
Yes.
All right,
okay. No. A major tournament.
Major tournament.
Because John Collins was the World Cup, wasn't it?
You've given me him. Gary McAllister.
Yes. Okay, we'll leave it there. Charlie.
He
Mulgrew.
Didn't score the last Euros though, Charlie. But we'll take him.
Charlie Mulgrew is taking on the full time teaser. Marvin Bartley.
I need
is
more respect. This is a team game.
Just here, basically. Quite frankly, Mark is a Celtic fan on the line. How's it going, Mark?
Good evening, guys. How are you guys? Okay?
Yeah, all right, good, Mark. What are you thinking tonight?
Again, as usual, I just listening to the radio, listening to you guys, listening to the guys jumping on, the Rangers boy, a couple of pundits ago, a callers ago saying, you know, Celtic are a poor side, that's his opinion. And then there's a Celtic guy on after him saying, well, we're a great team and we're playing the best football in Scottish football this season. But I go to the games just like that guy. I'm a season ticket holder and I've probably played at 4. And I've got to be honest with you, Celtic are the most lopsided team I've seen in the last couple of years at Parkhead. I think the manager is trying to play the fast attacking brandy football, and he continues to do it, even though he probably doesn't have the players that can do it. I've got to be honest with you. I know people are saying obviously Rangers are a direct side and they haven't got the players available to play the style of football, but they're still winning games. So Brendan Rodgers doesn't play like that, and that'll stand and fall by that decision. But they want to try and play football, his style of football, and that's it. The problem we've got is, in a minute, in my opinion, and this is my main point, Celtic are struggling at the left back area, and they're struggling in the width but he's a wee man up front. He can't get the goals. And people say, well, swap him the O. It doesn't matter who you put up there. You can't get the service into these boys. And that's the biggest issue for Celtic at the minute. But like I say, the biggest point I've got is, I know that the pundits on there, Marvin and Charlie, both of them ex-players, they're not going to hang another professional out to dry, but I can, because I'm a fan. I've got to be honest, Greg Taylor is probably the worst left-back I've seen in Celtic for years. And he played well for Andy, under Ange Postecoglou, because he was inverted. He's absolutely struggling at the moment. He's a weak link. Most of the goals that would teed on to his side. There is a player in there, obviously, and he is a good footballer, but the position he's playing at the minute, he offers Palma nothing, he gives him nothing, he gives him absolutely no help. And I think he's the weakest point, and Celtic don't have a backup for him. And I know it sounds like I'm absolutely murdering my own player, but I've watched that enough. I honestly probably can't take anymore.
Wow, the worst. Somebody can't remember the Mark Wilson years, that's all I've got to say on that. But anyway. Well, listen, that's the beauty of football. Mark's on the line's tone is so different from Brian. You know, they're both Celtic fans. They're just from up the road from each other. Let's answer specifically on Greg Taylor, but then as part of a wider point, are there too many players that are not at the level that they were previously?
Obviously, that's the case, because if you look at Taylor, the last couple of years under Ange, he said there, Mark, that he inverted and he played in that inverted role. I've seen him doing it quite a bit this year as well, picking up a few good areas. He's just gone through a bad spell, and I mean, it's hard for me to sit here and criticise, because I've been there myself. I've been in that myself, and you don't see a way out. Your confidence is low. Everything you seem to do, you seem to start every week because there's nobody else really to play there, and your confidence is low, and you need to step out there every time. So I can only give credit to him. He's showing courage that he's stepping out in front of the fans every week, and he's putting his cell out there. And hopefully it turns for him, because he is going through a bad spell in his time at Celtic. And I've been there before. I remember going through a bad spell, Gordon and Marvin. The ball was going out the park at Celtic Park, right? And it was going out for a throw into us. And I was that gone with my confidence, I stuck my leg out to keep it in at the last minute, and I went, I toe poked it and went for them for a throw. The whole place just started booing. Mate, I wanted to just disappear into the grass. It was the worst feeling in the world. I get hooked at half time, and I'm kind of describe how low I was, right? But I'll never forget that.
Why did you not want to take the throw?
Mate, I just thought, I'm having a nightmare, I'm going to keep this in. And I toe poked it out for a throw into Braga, and I thought, oh my god,
a European
night. And I thought, wow, I'm the worst player in the whole world. Mate, that's genuinely how I felt. So I feel for him. Taylor's having a bad spell, and to answer your point, Mark, I hope it comes back for him, and I hope that they can start picking up performances.
Listen, that's all the motivation he needs. He's not poked the ball out for his own throw-in yet. So, like, that's a starter. Marvin, what about Mark's point of, I'm not saying this does necessarily apply to Greg Taylor, but can certain players really thrive in a certain system when being asked to do a certain job, and then ultimately when the job changes, they don't? And then has the job changed that much? Because you guys are much better at this than me. So from my layman's look at it, I feel like I have seen Celtic games this year where you think, well, the fullbacks do look kind of like what they're doing under Ange, but then at other moments they really don't.
Yeah, I think it did change. And I remember Greg Taylor coming in for, you know, a bit of flack when he first went to Celtic, and then Ange came, and I think he's probably the most, you know, improved player. He became fantastic because, you know, we were just speaking about kind of in that inverted fullback role, and he took it on, and for me, he was absolutely brilliant for Celtic. Obviously now, you know, the last couple of games, the team's going through a tough time. I do believe when Brendan came in that it was almost like Greg Taylor was then asked to be a traditional left back again, something that didn't suit him when he was first at Celtic. But I think in recent weeks, they have gone back to, as Charlie said, they're having the inverted fullbacks again. But, you know, in football, and Charlie speaking about there, when your confidence does go, you know, when you're doing really, really well and someone changes your role and then all of a sudden you begin to struggle with that, even when they change it back, it's not seamless. You know, it's not all of a sudden, right, things are going to click, I'm going to be, you know, brilliant in this role again. Greg Taylor will bounce back because he is, you know, a brilliant footballer, and he's shown that for Celtic when people have written him off before. So, you know, he will definitely bounce back, especially in that inverted role. But also when the team are struggling, you know, the magnifying glass is out now and everyone's being looked at and everyone's being questioned. Even when Celtic were winning things, Joe Hart was being questioned, wasn't he? Now the team's beginning to lose, you know, it's Greg Taylor and others. So, listen, Greg Taylor isn't a bad footballer. He's a brilliant footballer, actually. And you saw how good he was under Ange in that role, and it will come back again to him. But, you know, it's not just him. You know, there's a problem there. It's not one player that makes a team lose games of football. So, you know, it is harsh to just go after him.
See, this is why it's great. The guys open up about their lowest moments. You've got Charlie giving away the throw-in. We've got that fateful day that Marvin played wing-back in a National Cup final. Shameful moments of Scottish football. Mark, overall then, like, what's your kind of overall mood or thoughts? You referenced it. So Brian, the previous Celtic fan, the tone was sort of, you know, I'm not that worried. This will be fine and we'll turn this around. Are you obviously sound a bit less confident or?
I think they will turn it around. You'd expect them to. You know, a lot of people are writing off Brendan Rodgers. They must be, you know, fools because the guy's a good manager, a clever manager. And he's clearly looking at a team. I just listened to his comments on the Saturday after the game, and he absolutely hung a few of his players out to dry. He said Carl McGregor was doing a job with two or three of the guys in the park. So you can only kind of guess at the guys he was aiming at there. So if he's seen it, hopefully in January they bring a couple of players in. But I agree with Marvin. You know, you can't just say, well, we'll bring guys in January and we'll make a better team. The team themselves, the guys themselves there, you know, they're not playing, but they're playing within themselves. Maybe they're not playing as they should do. I still think they're good enough and should be good enough to go and beat the sides, but it's the fine margins of football, isn't it? You know, last year, we had games where we struggled under Ange as well, but we managed to get a wee goal here or there and it turned the game for us. This time, it just isn't happening like that, you know. So I always think they'll all turn around. And just before I finish, I'm not saying Greg Taylor's a bad footballer. Mm-hmm. The problem is at the minute is he's our number one pick at left back. So Tony Ralphs is our number two pick at right back. You know, and I don't see any difference between the two of them in ability wise. But one of them's a number two, and the other one's playing number one.
Well, I suppose, and then that brings the bigger questions about recruitment and so on, doesn't it? So it all kind of connects. Thank you very much to Mark. We are going to go back to Ibrox ahead of kickoff next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Right up the rover stuff there.
At 50.
Hi, I'm John Mackay from STV News. Happy 50th birthday, Clyde One. The big thing was a phone-in.
You can't control the ball, you can't hold it up.
For me and my pals, that was a kind of revelation. Phoning in, complaining about the game, moaning about the game.
Today's been the last straw.
Something we hadn't heard on radio before. It was a kind of social media this day. That was the punters talking directly to them.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. For 50 years, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Charlie Mulgrew are here. Kick-off fast approaching at Ibrox. Let's go and speak to Gabriel.
Yes, Gordon, well, the question is, can Rangers cap off a magical 7 days for the club with another victory? They've already won away to Real Betis to qualify in the Europa League. They followed it up with that narrow win in the League Cup final, and now they're aiming to trim the gap between themselves and league leader Celtic to just 2 points while still having a game in hand. And don't forget that Old Firm at the end of the year is also now just 10 days away. A flip come on, still unbeaten across his 14 games in charge, and he's won his last 5 in a row. He makes 5 changes from the League Cup final win over Aberdeen on Sunday. It includes a first start since August for Kieran Dowell and a first start under Clement to striker Kemar Roof. The team is as follows: Jack Butland in goal, a defence of James Tavernier, Connor Goldson, John Suter and Red Van Yilmaz. John Lundstrom and Kieran Dowell will be in midfield, with Ross McCausland on one wing and Abdulasima on the other. Sam Lammers will play behind Kemar Roof. Substitutes for Corey Dessers, Campbell, Matondo, Sterling, Wright, Balogun, Barisic and King. Of course, they're facing St Johnstone this evening and they will not lie down here at Ibrox. Craig Levein has taken the Perth outfit from last place all the way up to 8th. A stunning turnaround. He makes just 2 changes from their impressive victory over Hibernian on Saturday. Their team is going to be in a 5-3-2 formation. And Dimitar Mitov is still in goal. Fran Fratschak will play right wing back with Tony Gallagher on the left. Oludare Olufunwa, Liam Gordon and Andy Considine make up the back three. It's a midfield of Matt Smith, Daniel Phillips and Sven Sprangler. Max Kucharevi will be just in front of them, with Dialang, Jayasimi up top. Substitutes: Richards, Gallagher, McGowan, May, Kane, Clark, Carey, Turner, Cook and Costello. Rangers in blue, St Johnstone in white. It could be a huge night in the title race, Gordon. Will the momentum begin to swing in Rangers' favour just before Christmas? It would be the perfect Christmas present for the fans packed out here, the Ibrox faithful. Kieran Dowell, upon his return to the team, stands over the ball and we are underway at Ibrox.
Go on then, any hangover or will Rangers build on what they've done recently? Prediction? Yeah,
no hangover for me. Five changes will definitely help. I expect Rangers to win that game.
I mean, Charlie, based on your tone throughout the show, you've probably got St Johnstone 5-0.
No,
that's
no.
That's what the Rangers fans are expecting.
No, a narrow victory for Rangers.
There we go. Paul is in, well, he's from Coatbridge, but he's in Oxford. And I believe, Paul, you were eyewitness to one of the great Scottish football moments.
Aye, well, it was just when Charlie was talking about when he made the blunder to put the ball out for the throw-in against Braga.
Did you boo?
Do you remember it, Paul?
Well, I remember it only because there was a hefty bet on the game at the time, which didn't result too well. But
oh, much to you, mate.
I'm not saying it was Charlie's fault at all, but no, he certainly didn't help the matter.
I'll take full responsibility. That was a shambles our first half.
And did you?
I deserve to get. I get. I whipped.
I've actually got my lawyer sitting here next to me.
I get whipped at half time. I get whipped at half time. I get whipped at half time, and I remember just standing in the shower, just looking to the ground, thinking, "What have I just done? Where is my life going here?"
I sympathise with you as well, because I've had that feeling as well, not being the best player. No, I was a goalkeeper when I played. I've been hooked at half time as a goalkeeper. So definitely been worse than getting hooked at half time.
I mean, no offence, Paul, but yeah, presumably not on the European stage though. I mean, the 60,000 booing you. Is that Neil Lennon?
So we played Braga away first.
Was that Strachan or Lennon?
That was Strachan. I'd just come back to Celtic. and we played Braga first, and I had a nightmare. But there was no other left back at the time. So I played at home again. Did not deserve to play, but obviously there was nobody else. And I played, and I produced that first half. I was at the team for a while after that. Izzy Gary came in. Thankfully, I managed to work my way back in and no toe the ball for team shies.
I mean, Paul, that must have been quite something if you can remember the ball going out for a throw-in. I mean, do you know what I mean? That's not something you really remember.
No, well, there's a golden, you wouldn't really remember it unless there's a lot of money on it. It wasn't the turning point.
Did you have under a certain amount of throw-ins or something?
Because if he did, you'd be getting investigated.
I'd have been done.
Yeah. Where they start looking at like suspicious behaviour.
Yeah.
Charlie just towed it off to the other team.
Please gamble responsibly. I think I'm duty bound to say. What about the current team, Paul? Is it getting that bad yet?
Sorry?
The current team then, is it as bad as that or still a way to go?
I don't think it's as bad as that now, Gordon. It's what you were saying earlier on. I think Celtic had an easy, well, not so much an easy run at it, but they were used to winning comfortably for so many years that now the first bit of controversy that came about, everybody kind of panicking a wee bit. As I say, there was a lot of fans there when we were 8 points cleaner that were saying that the league was already won and whatever else, but it's December, as we say, and obviously being a big Celtic fan, I'd like to see my team way ahead in points, but looking at it from a football point of view and as a fan of the Scottish game, it is good to have that competition again. As I say, I don't want to sit here and say we're getting bored winning everything, because it's never a given. But for the competition now to be back in the SPFL, and just to touch on what Carl was saying earlier on about the fans and the away allocation tickets been given, I'd like to see the fans going back to the way it was before, i.e. Celtic and Ibrox and the Rangers fans in at Parkhead. So it just makes for a better fit.
Do you know what? It's a really fair point, and it's a good debate, but we're looking at that clock. I think we'll need to knock the ticket allocation on the head for tonight. You can maybe revisit it. But thanks to Paul, and I'm delighted that somebody witnessed Charlie Mulgrew toe poking the ball out for a throw in. I'm happy about that. I can go to bed happy tonight. Right, before we finish, let's finish the same way we have every night this week, and we'll continue to do so with this.
Clyde One. 50 years as Glasgow and the West's number one. Radio Clyde 261.
Right, I told you we were going retro. It's the 50th birthday of this radio station. So what we've decided to do is, in the run-up to the big birthday, we thought we'd celebrate some of the great moments in Scottish football by asking your pundits to take their pick. We were going to ask Marvin, but we know he'd just pick Hibs winning the Scottish Cup. So we can, I mean, that's just obvious. We'll put that out there. I mean, Roger Hanna was on last night. He went Archie Gemmell's goal against Holland, 1978. So we'll put you on the spot, Charlie. It's just the pundit's opinion. It's in no particular order. We just thought we'd try and come up with a bit of a list. So the last 50 years, Charlie, what sort of moment would you pick?
The moment where Marshaves apparently sticks out with Scotland get to the Euros, but I think which trumps out a bit is the quadruple treble for Celtic. Okay. I think, as I mentioned earlier on the show, it's a massive, massive thing, and it's no be, it probably won't be appreciated until years down the line when we look back and think how much a success and how much an honour and a huge thing that was to do. I mean, I don't think that'll ever be repeated.
Yeah, and is that the bit of it, if we're talking about, because like, this can mean different things to different people, this list, it's a personal opinion, like I say, but you think there's something in there that we just won't see again?
I don't think we'll see again, and I can't, I mean, it's unbelievable. He won four trebles back to back. It's unbelievable. Yeah, when you actually sit and think it now, it's a great achievement, credit to the squad. Brendan Rodgers, Neil Lennon, took it over the line in the end, and in the squad, they'll be heroes forever, I think. And it, as I say, it won't be appreciated until 10 years down the line when people are looking back at that.
And you maybe, and it's your choice. You could even have gone the first one in isolation, probably, mm-hmm. because it was the unbeaten one. But naturally, when it gets to the fourth, it supersedes that. But some of those moments along the way, does that add to it?
Yeah, I mean, the first one to go on and have a season where you don't get beat is unbelievable. Brendan Rodgers had come in and as I say, he's Celtic manager at the moment. His first spell was unbelievable. And then Neil Lennon comes in and carries that on and can take, wins the fourth one. And yeah, some huge moments within that, and it's a huge achievement.
Is that a fair choice, Marvin? Yeah. Like I say, it's just it's a personal opinion. We'll get round, I'm sure, various clubs, various, maybe some Scotland moments. You wouldn't grumble with that as an option, would you?
I don't think anyone can. I agree with Charlie. To achieve that is unbelievable. And like you said, it won't be fully probably appreciated until, you know, you look back on it in you know, a good amount of years' time.
And I think 11th on the list is going to be Queen of the South's penalty shootout win against Dundee United in the Scottish Cup this season. So, unfortunately, just missed out. But speaking of other big moments across the last 50 years, your teaser tonight, by the way, no updates to tell you really from Ibrox. John Souter, within a minute or two, had a head knock and went down. He's up and he's fine for the moment. Jack Morrison's question, and thanks to Sliding Wardrobe Solutions, East Kilbride, for helping us out. Seven men have scored for Scotland at a major tournament since Euro 92, and including Euro 92. You've got McAllister, McCoist and Collins.
Is Tom Boyd one?
Nope, miss an own goal, can't I give that?
That's what I was thinking.
Nah.
McGregor was the one.
The most recent one?
Yeah.
Yes, Callum McGregor against Croatia. Okay. Can you remember who was the last guy to score for a World Cup at a World Cup? So remember, obviously, John Collins opened it. Didn't really go to plan.
Gary McAllister scored in that.
No, that was the Euros. So oh, France it? 98, they won't think the only goal.
So McCoist, he scored against Switzerland. Is that the Euros?
That's Euro 96.
So somebody scored.
He was also sent off.
Craig Burnley.
Craig Burnley, okay.
Chipped the keeper against Norway.
Right, now we're really, now we're going back. There's a reason that they started.
This guy 92. Must have scored. Sorry to interrupt you, but I played against him in a testimonial, and you're going to think there's no way you played against
this guy.
There's
no way you played against
this
guy.
Okay, here we go. I'm glad. Let's
play
that
the
up.
Game.
Brian McClellan.
Oh, when have you produced that?
Because he was unbelievable.
Oh, that's tremendous. Listen, that's unbelievable.
Brian McClair.
He was unbelievable.
What testimonial was this?
David Gray's.
Oh, of
this
course.
Season, yeah.
He was still good. I thought you meant that.
No,
it was
unbelievable. No, I mean, it's unbelievable when he played.
Oh, right.
But he played in the testimonial,
I thought
yeah.
You meant you played like 10 years ago, right? Okay.
No.
Was that 92 he scored?
And there's one more from that era. Celtic midfielder.
McStay.
There you go.
Paul McStay.
I was going to say, from that era, he would be the top one amongst the Celtic fans. Right, we got there. Thank you, Charlie McGrew and Marvin Bartley. We are back tomorrow night with Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson, and whatever happens at Pittodrie and of course Ibrox, we will look back on tomorrow. Kamal Roof has just sent a header wide. 0-0 there, and 0-0 Aberdeen Livy. So really looking forward to tomorrow, 6 o'clock. Make sure you join us. And for us, from us I should say, that's it. Have a good night.